This is a LibriVox recording. All LibriVox recordings are in the public domain. For more information, or to volunteer, please visit LibriVox.org. This recording is by Mark Smith of Simpsonville, South Carolina. Uncle Remus by Joel Chandler Harris. Volume 4, His Sayings. Saying number 13, His Practical View of Things.
Brer Remus, is you hearin' tell of dese doin's out yere in de other end of town?
Asked a colored deacon of the church the other day.
What doin's is dat, Brer Ab?
Dese yere signs and wonders where dat colored lady died day 'fore yesterday. Mighty queer goin's on out dere, Brer Remus. Show us your barn.
Spirits? Inquired Uncle Remus sententiously.
Wuss'n dat, Brer Remus. Some say the judgment day ain't fur off, and the folks is flockin' round the house a-hollerin' and a-shoutin' just like they was in the revival. In the window glass there, you can see the flags a-flyin', and Jacob's ladder's there, and there's writin' on the pane what no man can read, leastways there ain't none can read it yet.
What kind of racket is dish you givin' me now, Brer Ab?
I done been there, Brer Remus. I done seed with both my eyes. Colored lady what was in trance done woke up and say they ain't much time for to tarry. She says she meet a angel in the road, and he pointed straight for the morning star and tell her for to prepare. It looked mighty curious, Brer Remus.
Come down to that, Brer Ab,
said Uncle Remus, wiping his spectacles carefully and readjusting them.
Come down to dat, and dey ain't nothin' dat ain't curious. I ain't no suspicious nigger myself, but I despises for to hear dogs a-howlin' and squinch owls havin' to argue out in de woods. And when a bull goes a-bellerin' by de house, den my bones get cold, and my flesh commences fur to creep. But when it comes to dese yere signs in de air, and dese yere spirits in de woods, den I'm out. Then I'm done. I is for a fact. I've been living here more'n 70 year, and I hear talk of niggers seeing ghosts all times of night and all times of day, but I ain't never seen none yet, and these yere flags and Jacob Lathers, I ain't seen them neither.
They are there, Brer Remus.
It's just like I tell you, Brer Ab. I ain't sputin' about it, but I ain't seen them. And I don't take no chances these days on dat what I don't see. And dat what I sees, I got to examine mighty close. Let me tell you dis, Brer Ab. Don't you let these signs on settle you. When old man Gabriel toot his horn, he ain't going to hang no sign out in de winder panes. And when old Father Jacob lets down dat ladder of his'n, you been mighty apt for to hear the racket. And don't you bother with Judgment Day. Judgment Day's liable for to take care of itself.
That's so, Brer Remus.
It's bleeds to be so, Brer Ab. It don't bother me. It's done got so that now, when I got a pone of bread, and a rasher of bacon, and enough grease for to make gravy, I ain't caring much whether folks sees ghosts or no.
End of saying. Saying 14, That Deceitful Jug. Uncle Remus was in a good mood one evening recently when he dropped casually into the editorial room of the Constitution, as has been his custom for the past year or two. He had a bag slung across his shoulder, and in the bag was a jug. The presence of this humble but useful vessel in Uncle Remus's bag was made the occasion for several suggestive jokes at his expense by the members of the staff. But the old man's good humor was proof against all insinuations.
"Dat air jug's been to war, man. It's one of dese yer old-timers. I got dat jug down there in Putman County when Mars Lisha Ferryman was a young man, and now he's done growed up, and got old and died, and his chillens is growed up, and dey can count dere grandchillens. And yit there's dat jug just as lively and as liable for to kick up devilment as what she was when she come from de foundry."
"That's the trouble," said one of the young men.
That's the reason we'd like to know what's in it now."
"Now you're getting on marshy ground," replied Uncle Remus. "Dat's de point. Dat's what make me say what it does. I've been knowing dat jug now gwine on 65 year, and de jug what's more deceitful than dat jug ain't on the top side of de world. There she sits," continued the old man, gazing at it reflectively. "There she sits just as natural as a ambertype. And yet where's the man what can tell what kind of confab she's a gwine to carry on when dat corn cob is snatched out of her mouth? Dat jug is mighty deceitful, mon."
"Well, it doesn't deceive any of us up here," remarked the agricultural editor dryly. "We've seen jugs before."
"I bound you is, boss, I bound you is, but you ain't seed no deceitful jug like dat. There she sits a-bellyin' out and lookin' mighty fat and full, and yet she'd set there a-bellyin' out if there wasn't nothin' but water under dat stopper. You knows dat she ain't got no eggs in her, nor no bacon, nor no grits, ner no tomatoses, ner no shellots, and dat's about all you does know. Dog my cats, if the deceitfulness of dat jug don't get away with me," continued Uncle Remus with a chuckle. "I was coming across the bridge just now, and Brer John Henry see me with the bag slung on to my back, and the jug in it. And he ups and says he, 'Hey-o, Brer Remus, ain't it getting late for water millions?' It was the deceitfulness of dat jug. If Brer John Henry knowed the color of dat watermelon, I spec he'd snatch me up for the conference. I declare to gracious it, dat jug ain't a caution." "I suppose it's full of molasses now," remarked one of the young men sarcastically.
"Hear dat!" exclaimed Uncle Remus triumphantly. "Hear dat! What I tell you? I said dat jug was deceitful, and I sticks to it. I've been knowing dat—"
"What has it got in it?" broke in someone. "Molasses, kerosene, or train oil?"
"Well, I lay she's loaded, boss. I ain't shook up since I drapped in, but I lay she's loaded."
"Yes," said the agricultural editor, "and it's the meanest bug juice in town, regular sorghum skimmings."
"Dat's neither here nor there," responded Uncle Remus.
"Poor folks better be fixin' up for Christmas now while rations is cheap. Dat's me. When I hear Miss Sally goin' about the house whistlin', when I can read my titles clear, and when I see the martins swarmin' after sundown, and when I hear the peckerwoods confabbin' together these moonshiny nights in my end of town, and I knows the hot wetters are breakin' up, and I knows it's about time for poor folks for to be wrastlin' round and huntin' up their rations. Dat's me up and down."
"Well, we are satisfied. Better go and hire a hall," remarked the sporting editor with a yawn. "If you are engaged in a talking match, you have won the money. Blanket him, somebody, and take him to the stable."
"And what's more," continued the old man, scorning to notice the insinuation, "though I hear Miss Sally whistlin', and de peckerwoods a-chatterin', I ain't seein' none of these yere loafin' niggers fixin' up for to migrate. Dey can holler Kansas all round de neighborhood, but ceppin' a man come along and spell it with greenbacks, he don't ketch none of these yere town niggers. You hear me? Dey ain't goin'."
"Stand him up on the table," said the sporting editor. "Give him room."
"Better go down here to the calaboose and get some news for the print," said Uncle Remus with a touch of irony in his tone. "Some new nigger might have broke into jail."
"You say the darkies are not going to emigrate this year?" inquired the agricultural editor, who is interested in these things.
"Shoo, dat day ain't. I done seed and I knows."
"Well, how do you know?"
"How you tell when crow gwine light? Niggers been promenading by my house all this summer, holding their heads up high and the whites of their eyeballs shining in the sun. They was too biggity for to look over the garden palms. Long about den the weather was fetching the natural spirits of turkentime out of the pine trees, and de ground was fairly smokin' wid de hotness. Now dat it's gittin' sort of airish in de mornin's, they don't peel like de same niggers. They done got so they'll look over in de yard, and next news you know they'll be tryin' for to scrape up acquaintance wid de dog. When dey passes now, dey looks at the chicken coop and at the tater patch. When you see niggers gettin' dat familious, you can depend on their camping with you the balance of the season. Day 'fore yesterday, I caught one of 'em looking over my fence at my shoats, and I says I, "Does you want to purchase dem hogs?" "Oh no," says he, "I was looking at the points." "Well, they ain't pointin' your way," says I, "and furthermore, if you don't bother longer dem hogs, they ain't gwine to climb out of dat pen and attack you neither," says I. "And I bound," continued Uncle Remus, driving the corncob stopper a little tighter in his deceitful jug and gathering up his bag, "and I bound it my old musket'll go off tween me and dat same nigger yet, and he'll be at the bad end, and dis deceitful jug will fuse for to go to the funeral." End of saying. Saying 15, the Florida Watermelon. "Look here, boy," said Uncle Remus yesterday, stopping near the railroad crossing on Whitehall Street and gazing ferociously at a small colored youth. "Look here, boy, I'll lay you out flat if you come flinging your watermelon rhymes under my foot. You watch if I don't. You can play your pranks on these here white folks, but when you come a-cutting up your capers round me, you'll land right in the middle of a spell of sickness. Now you mind what I tell you, and I ain't gwine for to put up with none of your sassiness neither, let alone flinging watermelon rhymes where I can get mixed up with 'em. I done had enough watermelons yesterday and the day before." "How was that, Uncle Remus?" asked a gentleman standing near. "It was sort of like this, boss. Last Tuesday, Mars John, he fotch home two of these yere Florida watermelons, and him and Miss Sally sot down for to eat 'em. Mars John and Miss Sally ain't got nothin' that's too good for me, and the first news I knowed, Miss Sally was a-hollerin' for Remus. I done smelt the watermelon on the air, but I ain't got no better sense than for to go when I hears white folks a-hollerin'. I learnt dat when I once so high. Leastways, I galloped up to the back porch, and there sot the watermelons just as natural as if they'd been raised on the old Spivey place in Putman County. Then Miss Sally, she cut me off a slash, one of these yer ungodly slashes, big as your hat, and I sot down on the steps and wrapped myself round the whole blessed chunk, except in the rhyme." Uncle Remus paused and laid his hand upon his stomach as if feeling for something. "Well, old man, what then?" "Dat's what I'm gettin' at, boss," said Uncle Remus, smiling a feeble smile. "I sauntered round about a half hour, and then I began for to feel sort of squeamish, sort of like I'd done been and swallered about 4 pounds off of the rough end of the scantling. Looked like to me that I was going to be sick, and then it looked like I wasn't. By and by, a little pain showed his head, and sort of meandered round like he was looking for a good place for to catch holt. And then a great big pain jump up and take after the little one, and chase him round and round, and he must have caught him, 'cause by and by the big pain retched down and grabbed his left leg and haul him up, and then he retched down and grabbed the other one and pull him up, and then the war begun, sure enough. For mighty nigh near 4 hours they kept up that racket, and just as soon as little pain had jump up, the big one would light onder it and gobble it up, and then the big one would go sailing round hunting for more. Some folks is mighty curious, though. Next morning I hear Miss Sally a-laughing, and singing, and a-whistling, just like there wa'n't no watermelons raised in Florida. But somebody better pen this yere nigger boy up when I'm on the town, I can tell you dat." End of saying.